Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and get started. I think they're about done with tickets. And so could I have your attention, please? The topic of our seminar this afternoon is how to create teamwork in order to have productivity in your chapters and affiliates. And so we have two great panels of people, plus we're going to give some presentations. And then we're going to have door prizes at the end. But that means you have to stick around if you want to get a door prize. So, and I'm pleased to introduce some wonderful people that are going to be on our panels. And at the end of each one of the panels, we're going to allow you to have a couple minutes to pose some questions to them. The first topic we're going to discuss is how did you resolve a particular conflict or disagreement in your affiliate? And I have up here with me, well, first of all, I guess I should tell you who I am. Most of you probably know who I am, but I'm Artis Bazin, and I'm your ACB membership chairperson, and I'm the person that people call if they have problems. my first panel, I have Donna Pomerantz from California. She's the president of the California affiliate. I have Kenneth Simeon, who is the Texas president, and I have Sally Benjamin, who is the membership chairperson for Florida. And each of them are going to talk about some instances they had in their particular states where there was some conflict or some kind of controversy. So I'm going to, since Donna is next to me, I'll let her be first. She told me not to make her be first, but... But I happen to know she's next to me, so I...
Artis is so good. Okay. Artis, how long is my time?
Talk about 5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes. Okay. Our largest conflict, I would say, was going from two conventions to one. In California, we had two conventions. We will now be having one convention... beginning in 2014. And that really was the source of huge conflict. And what I would say is what made it work, and it wasn't easy, was number one, I was the beneficiary of being able to be there and watching it happen the first time and listening to the membership and what their issues were and what their concerns were. The first time it did not pass and it caused a lot of conflict. The second time it came up, it did pass. I believe that the reason that it worked as far as resolving this large conflict was for the following reasons. Number one, everything, cell phones. Now in California, when cell phones ring and I hear someone say hello, I could usually call them out by name and say, hey, so-and-so. Hey, Artis, can you please turn off your cell phone? Although I've done it too. So go ahead and put those on vibrate, please. So the large reason that I believe it was successful to moving to one convention is because everything was out in the open. I made it a point to be very specific. When people would ask questions, you know, as far as the finances, because that is really the largest reason that we could not continue as we've been in the past. So I was very specific with those numbers, and I couldn't have done that without my treasurer, who was one of my right-hand men. He gave me lots of detail, more detail than anyone probably would ever want. But because he did all that work, I was able to answer members' questions with much specificity. If there wasn't that specificity, that leaves room for doubt, you know, and wondering, and so on and so forth. So I kind of call specificity, you know, bringing things out in the open and the light, so to speak, or the clear pathway that doesn't meander. Maybe I'll use that instead. It's the non-meandering pathway, and I know I have 2 minutes because I'm keeping my time too. So as much specificity as possible out in the open, making sure that you say the exact same thing to each and every person you speak to, no matter who that person is. Because guess what, folks? I don't know about in your area, but in our area, everybody talks to each other, right? So again, you need to make sure not to cause doubt. Because if people start getting mixed messages, that will cause fear and doubt. And this was already a very fearful situation. The second thing is our board. When our officers and board members began talking about this, we made sure to send the same message, the message of clarity, and again, everything out in the open. It was a team out in the open. The next thing, in as far as what allowed us to resolve this, and folks, I'm not a very patient person, okay? I'm not. I would love everything to happen yesterday. But the bottom line is we are an organization of democracy. Some of you heard me say that on the floor today. And democracy sometimes takes a little bit long and can be a little bit messy. But we brought the full membership into this process. I made sure to have focus calls so that when we were proposing constitutional amendments, they could know what was coming forward and they could give their concerns, they could prepare, etc. The other thing is, and I know I have 30 seconds, the other thing is, we had calls about, and we're still doing this, we had calls about the actual convention structure and everything, and what members would want to see, and so on and so forth. So in closing, what I will say is this was a very difficult decision, making sure not to send mixed messages at all. Say the same exact thing to each and every person you speak to. Even if it's your best friend, right? Your best friend knows other people too. So you need to say the exact same thing. Complete openness, transparency, and specificity as possible. And again, bring everybody into the process and be prepared, because it may take a little while, but ultimately that extra time is going to cost less headaches. Thank you very, very much.
Okay. We'll go ahead and let Kenneth, you want to be next? Okay, no problem. Hey, what a gentleman. Okay, Sally, we'll go ahead with you next.
Okay, today I'm just going to talk about a situation that we had recently and how we resolved it. We had someone on our list who posted some things that were pretty negative about one of our officers, and it kind of got out of hand on our list. And so, as you well know, that can happen very quickly. And so what we did is our executive committee met real quick, and we decided to hold an open meeting for anyone in the membership who wanted to come. And so we did it within a day or two. I think it was the next day. But anyway, so it was fast. But we put a message out on our list and sent it to all our chapter presidents and anybody that we had emails for. Unfortunately, the people on the phone, we didn't have time to call everybody. But I can tell you, just like Donna said, people talk, and they tend to pass the word along pretty good. And we had an open meeting, and our president stated what was going on, and we talked about it, and we even asked for comments from anybody who was on the call. And one thing I can say is that, like Donna said, openness is the best way to resolve conflict and go straight to that source. I have found that oftentimes I'll get phone calls, and if somebody, you know, they'll call and I say, well, so-and-so said, well, when you do that, it really, really creates a problem. And so you need to be open. You need to be willing to listen to people. That's very important. And each and every member has a right to be listened to and to, you know, say how they feel. And so we were able to quickly resolve the conflict. It stopped all the stuff on the list, and, you know, everything got resolved in a timely manner. And that's the one thing I'd like to make is don't let a lot of time go by when you're trying to resolve a situation. Try to nip it in the bud so that you won't have bitterness. You won't have people talking and saying things that aren't, you know, true. And I don't know how long I've talked, but that's really basically what I, you know, wanted to say.
Okay. Audrey, do I go? You will introduce.
Okay, Kenneth. We'll have Kenneth be next.
Okay. I'd like to first start off with a statement that I heard years ago, and I truly believe in it. The best way to resolve conflict is to work to avoid it. And the way we do that, or we can do that, is to focus on team building. And so looking at a board of like 23 members, you could imagine the challenges we may face when there's decision-making time. And so there are differences. Now, one of the conflicts that we've had is that some people have different opinions and they don't know how to appreciate someone else's opinion. So as I stepped in as president, I actually brought some things to our board's attention that I noticed prior to becoming president when I was the second vice president, and even going further back as a chapter representative. One of the key things that when we're making decisions, I think it's very necessary that we would focus on appreciating and really tuning into what somebody is trying to state and ask for clarification if you need it. But when sometimes people have had problems with one another, personal disagreements that they've had, I've noticed that we have some board members that have held grudges for a long time. Now, that's something that you have to deal with personally. So when I came in, I encouraged every board member to really make a new commitment to work well with others and identify those things that you know that have kept you from agreeing with others. If there are some differences, I ask them to please, when you vote fairly. And if that person makes a motion that you just do not like, remember, we're here for the benefit of the organization, and those personal vendettas or disagreements should be put aside. And so one of the key things that I thought it would be good to do is remind everybody of what I had observed. One of the things I noticed that was going on when we were about to make decisions, if someone made a motion, then we had to take a vote with 23 members. Then I would hear when everyone wanted to say yes to that, they would calmly say yes. And when someone wanted to say no, they say no. So I brought it to their attention and asked them, do you realize that that strong no doesn't give you any additional vote? Or the person that made the motion could take it personally and feel like you're attacking them. And if we will work to build this team, where we will begin to work better together, we really need to think about how we respond. When you say yes, you should say no the same way, you know, to avoid conflict there. And so then what I started doing is incorporating a team building segment. And that's before we even get to any business. And the last time we had a board meeting, I issued out a document just verbally, really, by having somebody to read it. Now, the board received it by email. But it's 7 traits of a team player. We need to, every time we have a different subject, talking about how to be a team player or how to get along well with others. But I start off by asking every board member, it's a team exercise, I ask them to give some ideas about what is a team player to you? And then after that, then we go into the document I might have that have some specific details that they want to hold on to and refer back to. Then things got a little better. I did notice, though, things got better in the boardroom because I did say we used to go out for dinner in the evening and we all got along like we were great friends. And the next day we're in the boardroom and it's like a war zone. I say, are these the same people I was with last night? So we had to talk about that more and just bringing it to everyone's attention about what I had been observing allowed them the privilege to think about that. And our board meetings are more peaceful now. Now, there are some things that are going on behind the scenes that if I notice that, we have to be watchful of this. Don't leave the boardroom. Everything is working, seem to be working well in the boardroom. Then we have these after calls, and that could turn it, add to the dissension and turn it a bigger problem. So I had to address that also, because I also get after calls after the board meetings of people voicing their true opinion. Well, I want to make sure to them that I didn't want you to be quiet in the boardroom and be nice and then still do something behind the scenes. So we need to make sure we address those. Those other team efforts that I've actually initiated was to, because a number of our board members are chapter presidents and special interest affiliate presidents, I started having chapter presidents' calls. Where we talk about different things that's working well and seeking best practices working in our chapters, just trying to build some unity among the presidents and because they were coming to the board. So that's just from a different angle. And the special interest affiliate presidents, we've had a different call, and we would discuss things that mattered most to them. How are things working? What do you think should be done to make things better? And we've had some pretty good calls. The president's call is called the IDEAS, IDEAS, and those are acronyms for chapter presidents. That call is, we are having one coming up on July 24th. It's those letters stand for Integrating and Developing Enhancements with Adaptable Strategies. And as we share information that's working well in our chapters, and I also, it gives each one of them a chance to share and bring up things that another chapter might not have even thought of. So, while we're identifying best practices, we're also working at team building. I think that's
it. Okay,
that's,
thank that's you, it, Kenneth. I wanted to ask one more question to Donna. In working through the problem when it didn't work out the first time, what were some of the key things that you think made the difference between it being a negative thing the first time and a positive thing the second time?
In my observation, what made it work was the clarity of the message, the clarity and focus of the message we were sending. The other thing is, and I do take some heat for doing this, but ultimately I need to be true to me. And whenever any member, officer, chapter president, anyone would call me, I was very open about my stand on the issue. So everyone knew how I felt. And some of those phone calls, there were heated debates, but I listened. So the clarity, the honesty that I expressed in sharing what my personal position was, and I made it clear that that was my personal position. And the other thing is, frankly, bringing everybody into the process so that there was no segmentation. You know, people weren't hearing different things from different places. Everyone was hearing the same thing. And our board, I mentioned team earlier, our whole board was also communicating the same message as well, because our focus was finances, and that was the issue. So we all kept that same focus. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let the audience ask questions on this particular topic. Is there anything in particular? I noticed there were, you know, three different situations here. One about an issue we wanted brought forward, one about a listserv controversy, and then one about a board working controversy. So I guess if you have any questions, we'd like you to answer them. And tell if there's a particular person you'd like to address it, please ask that person. And when you get the mic, please give us your name and what state or special interest affiliate you're with.
This is Kathy Farina from Albany, New York. And I have a question for, I've forgotten the name of the person sitting to Donna's left.
Sally.
You had the issue with the listserv. And I was curious to know how that was resolved. Obviously, there was somebody putting things on the list that weren't appropriate. And how did you go about resolving that issue, other than, you know, I know you got your membership to talk about it, but what else did you do?
We had a conference call and invited all the membership, and we sent out emails to chapter presidents, board reps, all the listserv, and we invited them to come. And we had a conference call and just kind of sat down and talked about it. You know, there were some ground rules laid down for the meeting. Our president laid down some ground rules. But basically, we listened to comments from the membership, and then we made comments, and it was resolved, you know, that way. Does that help you?
Ready for me? Ken Stewart from the CCFVI affiliate. Ken Stewart from the CCFVI affiliate. The third panelist described, quote, meetings, unquote, or a meeting, unquote, and the, quote, boardroom, unquote, and I wasn't sure whether that meant face-to-face meetings or conference calls. So my question for all three panelists is the relative merits or pros and cons of the various communication vehicles that are available, email, posts, conference calls, and face-to-face meetings in terms of resolving conflicts.
Was that me?
Okay, were you addressing, he wanted
all
everyone.
Three panelists.
He wanted each one of us to answer. Donna, do you want to go first? Okay. Well, this is Kenneth. I'll go ahead and step forward and say that what I was focusing on mainly face-to-face board meetings, but we do have some of the same issues on phone calls. One of the problems that phone calls actually we deal with is like people having problems hearing one another
at times. So mainly I was focusing on face-to-face, but some of the same rules apply. We do have to respect one another and actually set the tone for the meeting from the beginning by initiating something. Even in the invocation, you can have a phrase that mentions team building in order to get people focused on what the issue is at hand and that we are here to make a decision that will be best for the organization.
One thing on a listserv, you do basically the same thing. And some listservs have more strict rules than others. One of the things that we did do, well, we haven't totally finished it yet, but is we are setting up some guidelines for our listserv, but not so strict that people can't state their opinions. But I will tell you, you know, all of us have done this, I'm sure, in this room. I know I have. You send an email, and once it's gone, it's gone. And you don't know where it might end up. And sometimes it comes back to bite you. So one of the things that I always tell people is please think about what you're sending before you send it. And I tell you, a good rule of thumb is don't send an email when you're angry. I have learned that lesson. I have done it. I will admit it. And it never pays off. So that's one thing, you know, you can say to your membership, don't hit that send button until you think about it.
And this is...
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to remember that. So... When you're mad as hell, let it gel, is what John said. yeah, that's good. Yeah, in fact, I write my email, I put it in my draft folder, and then I come back to it the next day or so if there's a lot of emotion to it. So we did a lot of our interaction on the telephone, and we did our you know, some more brainstorming and discussion and final votes in person. What I will say is, and artists can attest to this, and so can other folks from California, I'm a task mistress on the conference calls because we have folks with hearing impairment, and some people also don't disclose. And so I set the ground rules in the beginning and say no one will speak unless they state their name, so that, because believe it or not, I don't remember everyone's voices either. So I set those firm ground rules, and I will stick to them. I'm thankful that, you know, I have someone else taking minutes, because it takes everything in my being to keep those meetings running over the conference calls and allow everyone to speak and be heard, but you will not be heard until you're recognized. And that's a very firm rule that I adhere to. And everyone is allowed to be heard, but you just can't do it until you're recognized by name. And that's very, very important, especially on conference calls. Thank you.
And just so everybody knows that's in the room, because I am one of the sighted bunch riding the microphone, it's Jay Bader from Florida. When I do have the microphone to you, I will tap you on the shoulder to let you know you have the mic.
This is Dawn Brush from South Dakota. I'm the current secretary of the South Dakota Association of the Blind. And I know even with our board meetings, you know, we try to enforce the rule of identifying yourselves, but it still gets times when people are talking over each other, and you know, and even, like for someone trying to take minutes, it gets kind of hairy. And so last time I suggested people try to mute their phone, because sometimes we've had TVs and we've had, you know, other different things going on. Well, and that works really good on a, you know, a call where there are people across the country. I'm not so sure it works the best in a board meeting, because then people would forget to unmute when they were talking. You know, just, I don't know, but we've tried that. But I think, you know, you're talking about large affiliates with chapters, and we're just a small little affiliate in South Dakota. Even though we had, you know, even though we had the highest percentage of growth, we're still little. And sometimes, and so that tells you that, you know, we're the same ones doing the same job for the last 40 years, you know, in different capacities. But so you don't want to torque somebody off, because then you're afraid they're going to quit and then you'll have nobody. And believe me, that happens. I don't know sometimes what the answer is. And then I think sometimes you're too close to people, you know. So I guess sometimes you kind of grin and bear it, and sometimes the situation dies. But I do think open communication, is the best policy, the more that you can do that. So I don't know, not really a question, but if anybody from the panel wants to respond, it would be appreciated. Thank you.
This is Barbara McDonald from Arizona. Artists, this is sort of just information. I didn't hear what state Kevin came from, but they all represent state affiliates. Could they tell us how many chapters they have in their state?
My name is Kenneth Simeon, and we have 10 chapters and 3 special interest affiliates at this time. I'm from Texas.
I'm from Florida, and we have 21 or 23. I've lost count, but that includes our special interest affiliates.
This is Donna from California. We have approximately 35, and that's inclusive of our special interest affiliates.
Well, thank you, panel. I appreciate you speaking to the group. And we're going to head to our second panel. I know there is probably a couple more questions, but we have to move on. And the second panel is going to be on the topic, how to share board responsibilities and get working board members. Two components to that. And the other ones that are going to be helping with that besides me are going to be George Holliday, and he's from Pennsylvania. He's a past state affiliate president, and John McCam, who's the president of the Old Dominion Council of the Blind in Virginia. So I will first give the floor to George.
Thank you, Artis. You know, having a board is great, but we have to go back some time and think about that member. A good board member, a good leader starts at home. So when that new person comes into your chapter, just don't take their dues and give them a number. You're the first person to join this year or the 10th. Give them something to do. Find out what their likes are. Get them involved with committees. So then when they get to the state, your affiliate board position, they'll be able to get on the board with some ideas of how committees work. One thing, I am the past president of the Pennsylvania Council of Blind and the chair of the nominating committee. One thing, our committee has structured bios. When you submit a bio for a board position, there is a structure. What have you done in your state affiliate or ACB, a reference to advocacy? And there's several different issues that have to be covered. We have a candidates forum similar to ACB where questions are asked. But once you start to attend the board meetings, all board members are required to either chair a committee or to serve on a committee. We have 3 board meetings a year in person. 2 weeks before each board meeting, all committee chairs are required to submit a report to the board. And it's submitted to the president, and the president distributes those to all board members. This was done because at one time, we had some people would come to the board meeting, and it's time for their report, and they said, oh, let's see. Well, we did this, our committee did this, and we met this time. No, that didn't work. So there has to be some structure. All committees have to meet regularly on a monthly basis at a certain time of the month. The committee decides when they're going to meet, and they stick with that time for that year. Committees, all committees have to set goals. What are your plans for that year? You have to have some structure. It's not good to have a conference call and say, well, what are we going to talk about this week, this month? Have an agenda, committee chairs. Set up an agenda. But give your committee members a chance to discuss projects. Have them, get them involved. Yes, you're the committee chair. You don't do all the work. Committee members work. It's a team. You're just there to give some direction. It's a team effort. So as president of the board, you're there to give direction. The team, the members, you're a team. But remember, the bottom line is you're there for the membership of your affiliate. You're elected there to run things for the organization on behalf of the membership. All right, at this time I'd like to
any questions? Do you want to?
Questions later.
All right. All right. Okay. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to John McCann.
Okay. Thank you, George. It's a pleasure to be here with my colleague on the board, George Holliday, and under speak to board responsibilities. I cannot stress how important it is for, and I'll use the saying, you know, with elections, competence over cronyism. Okay, especially in smaller affiliates, you know, it's, I think, a testament to our civility as human beings that we develop relationships, but that's a good thing, and closeness is a good thing. I'm a child of Woodstock, so I support it on a variety of levels, and I'll go no further with that here. But what can happen is a cronyism develops, and, you know, somebody runs for treasurer, and they get all these, oh, you know, Joanne, she's my best friend. I'm definitely going to vote for treasurer. Does she know what a checkbook is? Has Joanne read a financial statement? Can Joanne prepare a financial statement? Without being Carlin-esque, or at least overmuch so, or sounding like Brian Charlson, no, these are the kind of things you really need to look at. Now, at the risk of seeming egotistical, and other people have leveled that charge at me, and I own it at some level, I commend to you an article I wrote about mentoring in the July 2012 forum. And I do commend it because there I make the case for mentoring, and I try to make it as strongly as I know how to make it. If somebody wants to be on the board, maybe they should evidence like a particular area, and coming back to what George said, that's a passion for them, whatever it is. They've got a passion for membership. They've got a passion for fundraising. And you cultivate that passion. And maybe they start off as directors. Your directors are your floaters. Those are the people who don't have any specific parliamentary duties. Now, let's say you have a director who's thinking a secretary. That person probably needs to be cheek by jowl with the secretary, and the secretary needs to be amenable, and there is an additional time cost factor here. Because not only are you doing the job, but you're going to be slower in doing it because you're teaching the person who aspires to the position what's involved. This is how we keep the membership records. This is how we enter the data into the affiliate membership management system. Okay, that system got started because at every president's meeting, the ones that are held at NLS and the ones, the feedback that the board gets here, all the presidents were saying, we want reliable membership data. We want a reliable membership system. Now, it's been a little buggy, unfortunately, but that's going to be worked out. We took one very, very large step in making that happen last September. Lane and staff brought it to fruition by December. We beta tested it. Carla was a big part of that. I was part of the training, as was a few other, Jerry Barry out of Massachusetts, Ray Campbell, and I'm probably missing some names. That's not fair. I think it was the three of us plus Lane. But we deployed that system, and then I think we put it in the hands of people. Well, we tried to train them.
But now that we've trained them, we hope it's a train-the-trainer kind of dynamic, and we hope that if someone's running for secretary, they at least evidence a willingness to be trained in that new system, that they have the skills requisite to carrying out the mission. Again, don't make it about cronyism. Make it about competence. What about your president? I'm not saying the person has to have read Robert's Rules, all 650-some-odd pages of them. I'm not saying they have to have memorized the order of precedence of motions. But over and above, and this would, I hope, be a given, that the person has good interpersonal skills and knows is comfortable managing people and managing conflict, et cetera. But they should know a bit about parliamentary procedure. Again, how better to do this than to observe some meetings, maybe to chair some sections of meetings. Again, be prepared to mentor your people. Make sure the people who run for office know what's required in the office that they're running for. And don't be afraid to ask the question. If Joanne is up for secretary and it looked like she's going to get in there, ask a hard question from the floor and whatever kind of candidates for them. What experience do you have performing the duties of this position? What training have you had? Who has mentored you in the position? What makes you feel that you're qualified for the position? Don't be afraid to put them on the spot. If you run for office, you have put your record out there. And you should in no wise apologize for asking the hard questions. I, as a board member, expect to be asked hard questions. If I'm not prepared to answer those, if I'm not prepared to be held accountable for those, then it's time for me to leave. And that's the attitude that anyone coming to a position of responsibility on a local board, state board, national board, that should be the legitimate expectation.
Artists?
Oh, are we doing all the questions either? I guess I can call for it. I was deferring to the convener of this meeting, the overall chair, Artis. What's your pleasure,
okay.
Artis?
I think we'll just let people ask questions, and then if there's extra time, then I'll make a few comments. But I want to make sure we get the questions first.
Julie Brannon from Seattle, Washington. And I'm going to ask a question about the local chapter level because I have a unique chapter. I'm president right now of a chapter in Seattle. And I would say about a quarter of our chapter have developmental delays because we're an organization that accepts everyone. And all the people in the chapter see other people getting positions. Most of them want officer and board positions. And I tried a situation where it wasn't a crony, but it was a person that I thought if I could mentor enough, it would work out, and it almost destroyed our chapter. My question is, what do you do in a case like that? You don't always have, like say on the local chapter level, all those people to choose from, and they're very aware that they're not getting chosen for officer and board positions. And if they are, then it takes just a lot of mentoring on a person's part. Any ideas about that?
I'll take that one. I have run into the same situation, and what I did was I started them with small tasks, very little tasks. Like if a new person or a visitor comes to your chapter, have them take their contact information down, either by writing it or recording it. So, but it's good to have the contact information. If they're able to make contact phone calls, to let people know when their meetings are going to be. Oh, we haven't seen you in a while. Our meeting is next month. Start them out with little things and grow from there.
This is Kenneth from Texas. For George Holliday, you mentioned about committees and starting those on the chapter level. As a president of a chapter and a state affiliate, I had to implement something, put some things in writing about committee chair expectations. Do you have something that you give to the person, or do you feel like it's best to just give it in a verbal format?
No, we have chapters in Pennsylvania and the state committees. There are written documentation, what is required of that committee chair and what that committee does. So if you would say to me, I would like to be on a committee, I would say, well, what would you like to do? You know, if it's a good interest, yeah, let's put you on a committee. Let's just see how you're going to do. But this is what this committee is about. Did that answer your question? Pardon me? Oh, okay. Well, you know, what you do is you pick a committee, fundraising, and sit down and structure what you would like that committee to do. And that would be your policy.
I have a question. My name is Londa. I am from the state of Hawaii. I am on the board of directors. How often do you have board meetings, and are members invited?
Who's that directed to?
I forgot your name. The gentleman, Holiday, Mr. Holiday.
All right. We have 3 face-to-face board meetings a year. The president has the right to call conference calls when needed. And we like to have all board members attend those meetings. And all our board meetings are open unless we have a closed session. But our regular board meetings are open to anyone. But, okay, when they're open, only board members sit at the table. Board members discuss things first. Then outsiders are asked by the president if they can comment. And if there's time available, they'll be able to make comment. Does that answer your question? You're welcome.
This is Dornetta McConnell from South Carolina. My question, I guess, would be directed at everyone that's on the panel. Being a chapter president of the Charleston chapter and being a board member, what I find that I'm faced with a lot is twofold. One fold is that both the state and my chapter have more, I'm young so I can't say the old word, experienced members. And what I find a lot in my meetings is I get, I've been in ACB since before the Emancipation Proclamation. And who are you? And so when I'm conducting my chapter meetings, it is nerve-wracking because I want to step outside of myself. Because I feel as though everyone deserves respect. And so you ask me for an idea and I try to implement it and then you shoot me down because you're 85 and I'm 40. Come on, people. You know, that's one thing that I find. And I want to know how to handle that without coming out of my skin. That's my first question. My second question is, like you said, you have board members and I am a board member. With sharing responsibilities, and since we have more, I was about to say the old word again. What is it? Experienced members who are not computer savvy or can't get to a computer. I often find in our board meetings that they come without their materials, and I'm speaking on like secretaries and treasurers. Do not have reports. So I was trying to figure out a way to implement a system of, I'm a mother, so I'm going to say punishment, a system of punishment for you not having your material. It is ill-prepared, and it is nerve-wracking. I mean, that's the best that I can say. Thank you. The most politest thing that I can say is that it's nerve-wracking. So what do I do? Because South Carolina is really in disarray, and because we're needing fresh meat and fresh faces, I'm honestly to the point where I just want to give up and walk away.
Well, actually, Donette, in the interest of time, I'm going to jump in, because I know you probably would say more. But this might not be the ideal forum. because I hear the frustration and it's legitimate. First of all, we're all talking about political environments. It might be with politics with a small p, okay? And in to go back to your mother punishment dynamic, how do you punish a politician? You vote them out. Get rid of them. Send them on their way. Now, the problem is I'm suspecting, because this is not a unique dynamic, it may be playing out in a large way in your affiliate, but it's not unique to ACB, unfortunately, is that you could throw them out and then who do you replace them with? How do you backfill? We have done a miserable job about getting younger people in and mentoring. So, again, I commend that article to you. But you got to have bodies to mentor in the first instance. I'm an attorney by training and in practice for 33 years. So reasoned argument is what I do for a living. And people can say and will say, you know, I'm 85, I'm 40, I know better than you. Try to make the reasoned argument that would be hard to rebut. Try to take emotionality out of it if you can, and I know that's hard. But, if I can use the argument or the example, I proposed an amendment, okay? It didn't pass. Maybe someday it will. I'm not going to take it personally, but I felt I had a very, very defensible rationale. I think it was torpedoed because this organization does tend to be a little bit hidebound and resistant to change. I've accepted that, and I don't think we should have change for the sake of change, but I'm a big fan of reasoned argument, taking emotion out of it. Maybe somebody isn't voting with you today, but they ultimately will. And I think a good argument sells itself. It's nice to have a good advocate behind it, one who is articulate, one who is intelligent. And you are certainly both of those things. I will just talk privately with you by email. We've spoken a few times, and I'm concerned about South Carolina, as is every member of ACB, every member of the membership committee. There are specific situations or dynamics down there. It's an open secret that South Carolina wasn't seated. I won't beat that to death. But okay, this committee wants to help people.
Okay. Donetta, another thing, I think sometimes if you have a board member or an officer who isn't getting in the reports on time, the best way to handle it is to go to them and say, you know, I really want to help you to become a better board member, a better officer. What can I do to make sure that you can get these reports in at the meeting on time? And I think by asking them how you can help them, then maybe they can articulate exactly what the issue is. And maybe you can give them a partner, another member of the board that can work with them to help them to get the report to the board if they don't have a computer and the other board member does. So sometimes by having a partner on the board. And that's why it's so important for the board has to be able to work together, and they all have to be working board members. And if you can partner board members to do certain tasks together, that'll make them all work harder, and they'll feel like everything's getting accomplished satisfactorily. And thank you all for your questions. I appreciate it. We're going to go next to recognizing the affiliates with the largest growth. And we had two affiliates get the awards on the floor, and I'd just like to recognize them at the membership seminar, because all of you always like to hear about people who do the best at membership growth. So the highest percentage of membership growth was this year was South Dakota. And the highest number of members was Texas. And the reason we have the two different awards is because sometimes it's easier for a small affiliate to get the highest percentage. And it's hard for the larger affiliates to get that. So by doing both, then we can recognize both small and large affiliates. And I'd like, if each of you, too, would just like to make, say, one thing that maybe helped your affiliate this year to get where it's at. We don't have enough time to have you give us a laundry list, but if you can each give us one thing in particular
that helped you grow this year?
I'm not the membership chairman, but I think more people got contacted. And I think that's something that we really need to do. You know, people on the membership committee need to go back through the list, and if somebody hasn't joined for a year or two, give them a nice call and talk to them. And if some things come up, you know, say, you know, what would you like to see? What, you know, what would you want to have us do, you know, to have you join again? Or how can we help you to, you know, to see the good in this organization? And so I think it's up to us. We lack that very, very much. So that's what I would say, is that, you know, more attention was paid to the list, and people were contacted. Thank you.
This is Kenneth from Texas. One thing we started doing is we went back to a city, El Paso, Texas, that had a chapter years ago, and started working with the group to ask them if they could get more people interested. And we worked with them on several conference calls, and they came in as a new chapter within this year. And we have a special effort going out to identify support groups in different cities. We have three or four different cities right now we're targeting, and we've met with those support groups that we may be able to turn into a chapter. And we've also made additional phone calls and communication with members at large and other possible chapter of members and all that, so we could increase our membership. And I've worked closely with the membership committee, so we've come up with a strategy, and we believe that we're going to have some positive results from it.
Well, thank you very much. Well, next we're going to give the microphone over to the chair of the Public Relations Committee, and he's going to give some awards out for the best brochures. And it might be somebody else that's presenting. I'm not positive, but yes. Nobody came up here, so I wasn't sure who was here.
Well, I'm not Ron Milliman. I'm Sharon Lovering.
Thank you, Sharon.
Ron had an unavoidable schedule conflict, so he chose me. And if any of the representatives of these affiliates are in the room, please raise your hand and we'll get the certificate out to you. Working our way up from third place for Outstanding ACB Affiliate Brochure. Congratulations to the Utah Council of the Blind. Is anybody here from Utah? Okay. Now, I know these folks are here. I see them sitting in the front row. Second place goes to the good folks from Washington State. And now, for first place in the Outstanding ACB Affiliate Marketing Brochure, going to the good folks of North Dakota. I will see that Utah gets theirs.
Sharon,
uh-huh.
Would you kind of just give us a couple of things that maybe distinguish these from other brochures you saw?
Yes, we had a batch of about 10 different affiliate brochures, and there was a group of three of us, Galen Floy, myself, and Sarah Conrad. Sarah was tied up breaking down the students' booth, but she was planning to join us. We saw about 10 brochures. What made these three particularly outstanding was the layout and design, the excellent grammar and punctuation and spelling. And some of the best ones had good pictures that really drew in the eye. We saw a whole mix of good, bad, and oh dear. And the committee felt that these three were the top three. Yes, that was there too. I was getting there. Thank you. Useful information. There were a number of affiliate brochures that included the date, time, place of the meeting, and how to get in contact with folks. All in all, I gotta say, these three affiliates really gave us a run for their money. And I hope more affiliates enter this contest next year so that we can really have to work.
Well, thank you, Sharon. The PR committee is putting together an article which kind of will lay out exactly what good points should be in a good brochure, and that will be in an upcoming Braille forum. We probably have time for one quick question.
Let's see. Who should ask? Okay, Zelda, we'll go to you.
This is Zelda Gebhardt from North Dakota, and I'm thrilled to death about this. It took us a year and a half to come up with this brochure, going back and forth and back and forth. So I'm glad it was well worth the wait. Yes.
Well, that's great. That's great.
Artist, do you want to take a question?
We have time for one more question.
Okay, Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. I'm wondering if the committee evaluated the accessibility of the brochure, or are these brochures intended to reach the sighted public audience?
Okay, did you hear the question, Sharon? Oh, okay, no problem.
Most of the brochures we evaluated were print. We did have a few that were marketed to the sighted folks, and a few affiliates that sent separate brochures, one for the sighted public and one for the visually impaired public. And that's about the winners, their brochures were accessible. They were large print. They had large pictures, easy access to the information.
Okay. Well, we don't have time to go into that anymore, but there will be an article upcoming in the Braille Forum about what would be good to have in a good brochure. Okay, we're going to move into, I've got a couple of handouts here that I have in Braille, and I also have them in large print. And then I have both handouts are on a CD along with a couple of other articles on CDs. So I have the three formats. So if I could have some helpers to hand these out. The one is called Building Good Relationships. And I don't know if this one here is that one. The large print is underneath. And then the other one is How to Reach Visually Impaired Seniors. We didn't have that as one of our topics, but we felt it was very important, so we've got a brochure that gives specifics on how affiliates can reach out to seniors. I know a lot of times it seems like last year we gave out a lot of handouts for young people, but, you know, I think we got to reach both spectrums. And here's the CDs, if somebody wants to hand out the CDs. The CDs have both on it, along with a couple other articles, so. Building Good Relationships. In other words, how to get along. And we will be emailing them to the membership list. And I can put them on the leadership list, too, as far as that goes. I think they'll be large. I don't think they're too large to cut and paste into both of them, as long as I do them separate emails. And if anybody wants a copy and attachment, just feel free to email me. I'm sure you can find my email someplace. I'm a lot of places, so. And then, of course, the final thing, I don't think anybody's probably waiting for anything else, right? We're going to have some door prizes here. And I just need someone that can read. I brailled yours out, but I didn't braille the other ones out because I didn't want to be able to feel what the numbers were. So I'll have somebody else read the numbers. Oh, okay. Donna said she has her magnifier. Yes. Okay, I've got several prizes here. So, Donna, who's the first one? The last three numbers are... Three, three, eight. And who has that number? Three, three, eight. Oh, Donna!
Wait a minute.
Hey, maybe somebody else needs to look at that number. I don't know. I don't know if I dare let somebody else read the next one because they might.
You're in trouble, Donna. You're in trouble, Donna.
Okay, the second one is, and we're giving Donna a Stein here. 361 is the second one. 361.
Who's me?
Okay, this is one of my books on CD about building Black success. Does the image of your organization attract members? Okay, the next one we'll give to Donna. Three, five, two. Okay, we got a music CD here. Three, five, two, nobody? Okay. Oh, we do have a winner, okay. Sue Lesprance, okay. Okay, I've got one more here. Oh, two more here. I've got a $10 bill. So, see, aren't you glad I didn't tell her what the prizes were? 368. And we have one more here. Three, four, seven. Sandy Edwards, okay. And this is another one of my books.
Okay,
Got one more left. And this one is another music CD. Three, four, one. Sharon. It's right next door. It's in B. Okay, well, thank you very much for coming. And as always, if you ever have any questions, please give me a call, and I'd be glad to help you out.